Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me from darkness into light. I'm trusting God, for I know He'll lead me right. I'm trusting God to lead me day by day. I'm trusting Him to lead me all the way. He lifted me.
Trusting Him to lead me all. anybody lose this? It's got a pill inside. It's a little black medicine box. It's got one little pill in it. Anybody? No, it's not a Tylenol. This looks like a prescription medicine thing. Anyway, it's up here. If you need it, we'll have it up here. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Wasn't that a wonderful service this morning? Such a wonderful move of the Spirit. And then we had such wonderful words. You felt life in them, didn't you? I did. Appreciated what we received this morning and everybody working that got up and participated. And I appreciate the Lord showing up. I was just sitting there thinking, and I don't know why the thought came to me, but I started thinking with these songs, I started thinking about Brother Clyde Patton. He's been dead now for quite a while, but I remember him getting up, and his main message was the body. If you remember Brother Clyde Patton, he couldn't hardly talk very long without talking about the body. And I remember I went to one general meeting, and he got up and he started listing things that you needed to be in the body, different principles, different spirits you had to have, different things you needed to do. And he was up 2 or 3 hours, and I wrote all those things down, and I wish I would have kept them because they were words of wisdom, and we need that. We need people talking about the body. I know that it bothers. I know, I understand that. It bothered me a little bit when I first came around, when I'd go to a meeting and people would talk about the body as an inclusive unit. And that used to bother me because I wasn't a part of it yet. I remember Brother Mark Boyd's here. It bothered him.
Where is he?
He's somewhere out there. It bothered him, didn't it? He's testified about that. You know, he told Brother Smith, he said I like the doctrine, I like the spirit, but it really bothers me that y'all think that you're it. And Brother Smith said, no, we don't think we're it. We know God is adding more to us. We just feel like that God showed Will Souders that he is going to have a body of people in this earth, and somebody's got to be that body. And so we're working hard to qualify to be that body. Of course, that was years ago. And I do feel like this is the body. I feel like this is what God has his hand on. If I didn't believe that today, I'd be looking for something else. Because I don't want to waste my time in an organization. No matter how fancy the buildings are, I don't want to waste my time. But I want to find God in his fullness today. And a lot of people are feeling the same way today too. I know that there's going to be, like Brother Smith told a couple Sundays ago, there's going to come a call, come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her sin. And God, and to some extent, we've each heard that call. If you're here today, it's because God has called you out, some from Egypt and some from Babylon. And I appreciate that. I was in Babylon when God led me into the wonderful body of Christ, and I love to talk about the body. When we first came in, we started hearing about the body and what God was doing. We heard that Brother Smith said this, and I believe it today, that you can't have a full vision of the body of Christ unless you understand that the church fell away back there. Because I used to believe, and there's a lot of people that still believe today, that what they had back there in the book of Acts was an infant church. But we've matured way past the need for all those things now. There's people today that preach from their pulpits that Paul and Peter and John and James, they had lots of problems. They couldn't agree on doctrine. They contradicted one another. And the reason so many miracles happened was God allowed that to happen just to get the church started. But we don't need those things today. We've grown past that point. We're much more sophisticated, you know. But I don't feel that way today. I feel like the things that those people needed back there, you know, there's two things that don't change. God doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? It says this about God. In him there is no turning, nor there is no shadow, nor variableness of turning. God the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God's plan 5,000 years ago is still God's plan today. He doesn't change. And man's, like Brother Michael Smith was talking about earlier, man's, the need for God from a man and from a woman doesn't change either. God made men and women, and he subjected the same in hope. When we're born, we finally grow to a place of maturity in life experiences that we realize that there's something greater in life than just us. You take little babies like Elizabeth and Isabel, all they know is they're hungry, they got air on their tummy, or they need to go to sleep. But you finally start to mature to a place, and you can watch these young people. That's why we encourage our young people to come down front when there's moves of the Spirit, because sooner or later they're going to reach a place where they recognize that there's something greater than just mom and dad. You know, right now, Anthony and Isabel and Elizabeth, their covering is Matthew and Reva. They meet all their natural needs. They take care of them. But they're going to reach an age when they realize there's something greater than mom and dad or even grandma and grandpa. And God made men and women like that, with a emptiness down inside that only God could fill. That's why this world has gone to such extremes. It's been 2,000 years since there's been a perfect church on this earth. It's been 2,000 years since God set up 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's been 2,000 years since the whole counsel of God has been delivered to a world and to a generation. It says back there through the New Testament that the gospel went out through the whole world. It's been 2,000 years since that happened, and man has grown hungry. And God made us that way. He subjected the creature in hope that God would reach down and touch him. And you finally, you know, we let our little ones come down and worship because we realize that one of these days they're going to be down here and something's going to get a hold of them. And they're going to start off playing, but they're going to end up feeling God, maybe even getting the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate that about God. In the Song of Solomon, and like Brother Smith was saying, you can't really appreciate or understand what we have today if you don't realize that the church fell away. I know Brother Smith has been dealing with that extensively in the book of Revelations, and we've got that. I think everybody here knows that the church fell away. And now in the book of Revelations, he's starting to deal with the church is coming back. And that's what I like to hear. I know the people down through the dark ages who died with this hope in their heart, and a hope was in God, that they're going to resurrect down here. But we're living in a day today where God is really doing something special in the body. He's getting the people ready for a great harvest and a great gathering together. And just like Jesus was walking through the barley fields, and he looked out and he said, behold, someone get that scripture where he was walking through there. I can hit at it, but I can't quote it exactly, where he said, the fields are white on the harvest. But it was yet 3 months until the harvest. And so when he looked out, the barley fields were still just barely coming up out of the ground. He wasn't talking about a natural harvest. He was talking about a period of time when man's heart, God had finally brought man's heart. There it is. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Can you look out and you can see fields that are white already on to harvest? There's people out there that are hungry for what we have. We ought to be willing to give them what we have. I know the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And I've tried to give this away. I've tried to give it away. But you got to have a heart that's willing to buy it. You got a heart that's willing. You got to have a heart that's willing to leave all. One time the apostles came to Jesus and they said, "Master," they said, "we've left houses and lands and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers," and said, "what is our reward?" And I love what Jesus said. He said, "In this life you'll have 100-fold, and in the next life you're going to have eternal life in the next one." I love that. What a reward we're working for. We're working for something great that God has here for us. And as he comes in the Song of Solomon, I think it's in the 4th chapter, it said, "Behold, he comes leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills." That's talking about God. That's talking about Jesus coming back down through the dark ages. That when God, and it has to be a work of God. No man can do this by himself. When Martin Luther stood up against the Catholic Church and posted that 95-point thesis on the castle, Wittenberg, Germany, on the church doors there, it was God that caused him to do that. And God was the one who gave him the strength, and God was the one who protected him. And God leaped on that mountain. A mountain is just simply a rising up out of a religious system to get higher onto God. That's all a spiritual type of that mountain is. And God caused a rising in the earth at that time through Martin Luther. And because he said, he gave him this revelation that the just shall live by faith. And so people flocked because God was there. People are always going to flock where God is working. And so they built something there, and then later there was more reformations, and God has been coming back to his people for 1,500 years. There was I don't even remember his name, Brother Michael may remember him, or Brother Weiniger. He's been dead for quite a while. He pastored a church. He played the bass guitar, and he sang that song, 1,500 years have come and gone, and the church in Babylon.
Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Yeah, Brother Larry Evans. Y'all remember Brother Larry Evans singing that song? And people need that. They need to hear that God's coming back to the church. It's been 1,500 years, and God's got a people's heart hungry. I feel hungry today for more of God. And you can read in the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah and in the book of Ezra, God stirred up those people's hearts to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. God did that. And God's stirring our hearts up today because he's coming back to his people. Don't you know? And Jesus said this. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, Jesus, they went out and Jesus ascended up into a cloud, and his apostles were dismayed. But there were two angels standing there, and they said, "O ye men of Jerusalem, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? For the same Jesus that you see ascending up into the clouds shall in like manner return." And thank God he did. Thank God he came back on the day of Pentecost. And on that day, you couldn't have, Peter at that time couldn't have gathered 5 people. He couldn't have gathered 50 people. But on the day of Pentecost, something happened to Peter because it was in God's time plan. God has a time and he has a season, like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There is a time and a season for everything under the heavens. And you can't rush time with God. It's just like in the Song of Solomon. It says this, "See that ye wake not my beloved before he's ready." You can't make God do something that's out of his time period. That's the restoration of the church. When it's time, we'll just find it, just like it was. And talking about Jesus, it says about Jesus in the fullness of times, God sent forth a son. Don't you feel that we're getting to the fullness of time today? I feel like we've almost come to a place where we're coming into the fullness of time. And then God started dealing with people during the birth of his son, Jesus. He stirred up the prophetess Anna and Simeon. He told them, he said, that you're not going to die until you see the promised one, until you see the Messiah. Don't you feel something working down in your heart? I do. I feel an excitement that's starting to build about serving God. Oh, I know we have problems. I know things are going on. But when you look at what God is doing in a people and what he's put down in a people, God's getting a garner ready. That's what it says in the book of John, or actually Luke. It says this about John the Baptist said that he was going to, how's it say that? He was going to, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, he would hewn down and cast into the fire. Of course, that was the natural nation of Israel. But it also goes on to say that he was going to build a garner. And he did that back there, and that was the church. And like it says in the book of Psalms, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into are safe. You know, there's righteous people out there today. There's righteous people out there that are looking for what we have, and God is doing something in here. He's preparing this place for people to come into, and the Lord is going to come back to his temple. Just like he came back on the day of Pentecost back there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, God's coming back to his church. First, he's coming back in a people, and then he's going to judge the world out there. So I appreciate the body of Christ. I love testimonies. Last weekend, I think it was Sister Rochella. She told how she came to the body. That encourages me. God's still bringing people into the body, people that have a hunger and have a thirst after more of God. So I wanted to get up and open the service tonight and just tell you how thankful I am to be in the body. I love it. Being in the body is the best thing that ever happened to me. I wouldn't trade anything for this. Sister Wilkins, there's nothing that would cause me right now to turn my back on the body. I say that, and I really believe it in my heart. God knows, and he protects me from things that could shake me out, but God is going to have people, and he's going to have a body that can't be shaken. God's going to have a people that are steadfast, and they're unmovable. Not only have they prepared themselves for the bride, but they can't be shaken. When troubles come their way, they won't turn on God. They won't question God. There's things that happen now that sometimes a little question pops up in my mind, and I find myself pushing it down. But God's going to have a people that never question. And they're going to be like the four wheels in the wheel and the wheel in the book of Ezekiel. And they followed the Lord wheresoever he went. I love that. Brother Smith had a dream or a vision right before he came to the body, and he was asking God to show him his people. And he said the ceiling kind of rolled back, and he saw this cloud just come out, and all these little tents just they followed, and where the cloud stopped, all these little tents just set themselves up. And then when the cloud moved, all those tents just kind of rolled themselves up, and they followed after the cloud. There's going to be a people that's going to follow after that cloud because they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. There's going to come a time when you aren't going to have to beg people to serve God. There's going to come a time where you aren't going to have to labor and work on somebody getting the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate that. I appreciate we have people who are good midwives that can help people bring forth the Holy Ghost. But I believe there's coming a time where people are going to walk down here and they're going to get the Holy Ghost like that, because the Holy Ghost is going to be so strong. It said this about Jesus, that he had the Holy Ghost without measure. We're going to have the same thing down here. It's going to be wonderful. Aren't you looking forward to that? It's going to come. I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when we aren't going to be able to build churches fast enough. As soon as we build a building, it's going to fill up, because God's going to give this people the goods. God does have a clean ministry, and he's going to stand with his people, and there's going to be a great end gathering. So I appreciate the body, and I appreciate all the testimonies we've been having about the bodies. So, amen. Glad to be here tonight, and appreciate this church, a lighthouse in Little Rock. This church is really starting to mean a lot to me, and the people. There's good people here, good workers. So I appreciate being a part of what God's doing here in Little Rock. Amen. Hallelujah.
God, and it's been happening quite a bit here lately. And one of the small experiences I want to tell you, last week, I was, first of all, I get close from customers, you know, well, right now, just one that I have, and she gives me nice clothes. And so the ones that look like, you know, decent church-going clothes, I bring them to the girls or whoever might need them, even shoes. Then the rest that are kind of like not holy clothes, I take them to a resale shop. And it's paid off a lot of times. I've made up to $200 before on the resale shop. And they will write you a check 40 and over, but not under. So last week, and so anyway, I've been picking up my money here and there. And so last week, I didn't have any money for gas. And my gas was like, I never let it go past fourth. But it was like, oh my goodness, it's almost empty. And I said, Lord, I cannot believe I don't have a single penny. I don't have, well, I have some change, but, you know, I don't want to use them, go inside and pay, you know, $2 or whatever. So a thought came to me. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I just need $10. That's all, just till tomorrow. I just need $10. So that thought came to my mind. I know it was God, the resale shop. Go see if you have anything there. So I go, I said, can you look at my account and see if I have any money? You know, and she looked and she goes, yes, ma'am. He goes, you got $11.33. I was like, oh, give it to me. I was so happy. I was like, wow, it's like $100 to me, you know, at the time. So she gave me the money and I went and got gas. And so, you know, it was almost full, half a tank. So I was very happy for that. And I was, you know, before that, I was singing that song about if I don't drown in troubled waters, be a better swimmer when I do. I don't even know how to swim, but I'm learning how to swim in troubled waters here. But I tell you what, I have had a couple of people from Republic that, matter of fact, well, some are not here that have asked me, you know, about my life. And I don't have a testimony like some people that God dealt directly, you know, to come in. But let me tell you, God was in our lives when I was 13. And all these things that happened, I didn't have any appreciation, or I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have the Holy Ghost, of course. But I was 13 years old, and we lived on West 7th Street in Oklahoma City. And Daddy got a job with this man, which was Brother Liniger. And that's how we first met him. Then my grandmother got real sick, and we were very, very close to her. She's the one that raised my sister, my brother, and me, until Daddy got married. And we left everything behind and went to Houston to be in the same, because they said she had to stay there for a long time, and she wasn't going to probably never get out of the hospital. So my dad, you know, packed us all up, and here we go, and guess where we moved? To McGowan Street, and that was where the church, Brother Patton's old church, was. But of course, again, you know, I didn't have any idea anything about the body or nothing. And Daddy answered an ad in the paper. Brother Walker, Robert Walker, was looking for a painter, and he answered that ad. And he invited him to church. The whole family went, and that's when, of course, we were Baptists back then, and we even sung. They asked us to sing, and I mean, when I walked in that door, I mean, it was like walking in heaven. But, you know, I was just 12 or 13, and I didn't, you know, it didn't bother me to go to big churches, because we were used to singing big churches. We sang the radio. We sang, you know, different in rest homes, nursing, everywhere. And but something about that place, I felt naked, because, I mean, I had a sleeveless dress, a little baby doll dress, what they call them, umpire dresses or something like that, and I mean I felt like ashamed. I wanted to cover up, you know, but I didn't know why I felt that way. And we sang, you know, and that was that. Well, then my stepmother Dorothy, her mom got real sick, so here we go again. We all moved down here to Little Rock, and at that time Daddy, of course, he was, you know, Baptist minister, and he would ask questions, you know, and stuff like that. And they told him that there's a church like the body there here in Little Rock. So that's how we got involved here, you know, with Brother Tucker. And, of course, again, you know, that didn't mean nothing to me. And I thought later, wow, I went all the way around, you know, to, you know, God kept us close. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And I didn't even know because, you know, the whole family, you know, went through so much turmoil and stuff. But something always kept me wanting to stay. And so my experience is because I had, well, I'll back up. When I was 16, my, you know, stepmother and my father split up. So that was one of the times. And they I had nowhere to go. So I went to Brother Tucker. And I said, Brother Tucker, will you, I said, this is embarrassing, humiliating, but I, can you pay my ticket to Texas? I want to go back home to my aunt and uncle. And he goes, why? I said, because I have nowhere to go. My dad's gone out of state, and I can't live with my stepmother because they're living in the projects. I said, I have no choice. He goes, yes, you do. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you can live with us. And I said, well, okay. Do you want to stay? I go, yeah, I'd like to stay. So he got me a babysitting job, and I stayed with him. And $15 a week, boy, that was the rate going back there. It was a lot of money. I mean, for a 15, 16-year-old, that's, you know, good money. And anyways, so I continued to stay. And then they got back together. So I went back home with them. And then, you know, a lot of stuff happened. And I still kept that something in me that wanted to stay. And so then I went back to Texas. After that, I had my own apartment. Then I went back to Texas. And that's when I took my cousin with me to Houston because I still, you know, I didn't have the Holy Ghost. But I still, you know, wanted to be a part of whatever was out there that was different than what I was used to. I didn't know at the time. And so while I was there in Texas, my sister Tucker wrote me a letter and said she misses me and wanted me to come back home. He goes, by the way, my sister-in-law and her husband and two sons are here, and they've moved down. He goes, you need to come and meet them. And so I thought, okay, that's okay. And I thought something just that wanted me to come back just because she said that. And that's why, because she, little did I know that when I came and I met my future husband, I didn't know that was him. And that's where the ball started rolling, you know, about I started looking back, as not then, but, you know, as I got older, I started looking back of why am I here? And then I thought, well, look at where God took you all the way around, you know, and back and forth, and you never gave up, and you still, and even though my husband's not here, it's not because he doesn't want to, but anyway, that's a long story, but I'm talking about me, because I'm responsible for myself, nobody else, but I went through so much, and I, you know what, I wouldn't trade anything, and even while I was in church, I wasn't in church, I was here, warming up a seat, but I wasn't, my mind was not, I didn't have a total vision, and when my son left the church, God started dealing with me because that's when he showed me that I was only staying here because I knew that was the right thing, but not because I didn't have the vision, and because it upset me. I started not praising the Lord. I started just sitting back, not testifying, not doing anything, and so I went through a surgery, and he dealt with me during the surgery about how I was putting my son before him, and I didn't know I was doing that, but I, you know, he showed me, and so I oh my God, it was, I can't explain what I went through, that experience, and I finally started praying and asking God to forgive me, and I said, Lord, whatever it takes, and even if I don't see Philip back in church, if I just see him in a casket, I will still serve you no matter what. You know, I mean, I said, you're in control. You do whatever you want with him. And about a month later, he brought him back, and he's been back since. And so I saw, you know, my eyes started opening more. I started coming to church because of me, not because of my family or my husband, my son, nobody, but because I needed it, and I wanted it, and I've got the vision, and I don't know how to explain. Oh my goodness, just so much has happened in my life, and many revelations, and little light bulbs coming up, you know. And I had to go to a Wichita meeting to get a revelation from Brother Leninger. That hello, you know, it's something simple, but yet it's like, you know, I remember Brother Tucker's words and Brother Leninger's words about, you have to gird your mind up. become spiritual person, you have to constantly think on God's things, pray, read the Bible, listen to gospel songs. And so I started doing them, and the more I did it, the more, you know, it was easy for me to get in. Because if I slack off, and which I haven't, but I'm talking about in the past, I would slack off reading my Bible or singing, and I'd come to church, oh, the weight of the world and everything going at home, whatever. It was like, I just didn't feel like it. And then I remember Brother Tucker's words, you can't worship God on feelings. You can't, you know, just because you don't feel right. What about when you want something, does God have to feel like helping you? Or I don't know how he would say, but all those things just kept on going through my mind. And so I just asked God to just help me. And so I, by all means, I'm not perfect, but you know, no way. But I've got, you know, that hunger, that because I've asked God to give me that desire and that hunger to and knowledge to understand the Bible. And just like when the Brother Smith or Brother Mike, one of them said, you know, it'll finally, you know, something will, you know, oh wow, I read that, yeah, that's what that means, you know, I understand more like that. And so I just rambling again, I just want to you know, show God that I understand, you know, is my famous words that I always use is, whatever it takes, Lord. And that's what I'm sticking to. It's my word, and I'm sticking to it about, you know, going all the way, because I have no desire for the world. I've been there, and I don't want to go back. And so I want to become stronger in him. I want to be an example, just like Sister Crow has been an example to me and others. And I want to also acknowledge Sister Joyce. I have always admired her countenance. She has never looked bad, mad, or, and I know she's human, she goes through things, you know, but she's like, oh, I always go, oh God, I wish I was like Sister Joyce, you know, she's so smiling and pretty, and you know, like nothing's bothering her, you know, look at her, she's smiling right now. And you know, she, and people like that, you know, makes you want to be, you know, a better, and I'm not trying to put them on the spot, but I just want to be a better person. I want to be like Jesus. I want to act like them, but be like him, you know. And so I know he's helping me. I just got so many things. But I just want to let everybody know that you know, there's hope. I'm talking about, you know, testimonies. When people get up and say things, I remember in the past years ago, you know, the person's not here anymore, but they would get me down by saying, you don't need to get up and tell your troubles. Well, Brother Tucker used to tell us, get up and tell what you're going through and how God has helped you or helping you to encourage others. And that's the way when I get up, I don't get up trying to cry on your shoulder or anything like that. I'm just letting you know that, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed with his blessings and everything he's done for me and everything he's putting me through and taking me out and making me stronger. And I don't have anything, but I have everything. You know, I'm rich in love and rich with family and friends here, and because y'all are my family. And I appreciate all of y'all. And I don't even, I'm sorry about I used the word Republic a while ago, but y'all not from there no more. You're from here. We're all from here. Because I'm originally from Texas, you know. I'm a Texan. But I don't say that in front of some of the Razorback people because they'll shoot me. Which reminds me, one time, my mother-in-law went, I was just, you know, Stan's girlfriend at the time, and we went to the mall, and all these cars had beat Texas sign, and oh my goodness, some just got in me, and I said, let's tear them all. So we just started going, tearing up the signs. I can't believe I did that. You know, now they would probably shoot me. But that bothered me because that was my state. That's where I was born. But, you know, anyway, that's just one of the silly things that among others that I've done. But anyways, I just appreciate each one of y'all and my family, all y'all, my family. I love all of y'all. I'm just so thankful to be here, thankful to be a part of the body. And I appreciate your words, Brother Durham, when you said the other day. I couldn't tell you word by word, but I listen and I know what you say and I understand. And I keep it in my heart, because he might come back later, just like the Bible, you know. But anyway, in my second chapter on my disability, they sent me a letter to go to the radiologist now. So I'm glad, because now they're going to see for themselves, you know, they're going to take x-rays of everything that's wrong and, you know, go from there. So y'all keep me in your prayers. So I appreciate you.
I want to be in his will. I have been out of his will before, and it's not much fun. And you're not so glad when you're out of his will. But when you're in his will, there's peace, and there's joy and happiness. And even if things aren't going your way, and that's what I kind of one day, I should apologize to Sister Smith. I called her one day, and I just did a little boo-hoo to her. I mean, woe is me, you know, poor little me, and... But you know, really, deep down inside, I do really appreciate being here. I just can't express to you how much I appreciate it. And I just love the Lord. And I want to have a good spirit. I want other people to feel God's love and His. I want to be an example for Him. I just want to walk softly and tenderly before the Lord. I want to have His will in my life. And, one something I've never had to really look for a job. I know that sounds funny and sounds weird, but I've never had to look for a job. I've never had to go seeking for a job. I might have put my application in somewhere because somebody told me about a job, and I don't know why, but I mean, I just never had to look for a job. But I've put in several applications, and I've gone to several interviews, and I have got a job. But you know what? I still feel like the Lord's hand is on me, and I still feel like He knows who I am, and He knows our situation, and He knows what we need and what we don't need. And, I'm just trying to trust Him. I want to be where He wants me to be, and I want to be happy where He puts me. You know, and when I get there, I want to say, I'm happy, and this is why I know where God wants me. And be content where you're at this time, at this moment. That's such a crucial thing in your life, is to be happy, because you have to learn to be content where God has you at this time, at this moment. And it may not be where you want to be. A lot of times I haven't been where I wanted to be, but I've tried to really, touch the Lord and feel content where He has me. And I do feel content, and I do feel glad, and I appreciate y'all's love, because you're
just don't know what a good time that we have. I've just enjoyed the good things that was said today. I thought Brother Mike and the rest of the people that have talked has said such good things, and it's so encouraging. And, well, to me, this is just a wonderful way. I'm just happy in the Lord. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm working on it. But anyway, I'm happy in this way, and that's a wonderful thing, because a lot of people today are not happy. And I thought how that people today are mostly, they're wondering what they can do to get up a little bit higher in life, and I know that we have to have homes, we have to have finance and all like that, but a lot of people's goal is to go as far as they can go, but you know that is not really our goal. Our goal is to make eternal life, and we know this is not our home. We're just passing through. After we get through with it, they can have it. But anyway, I think it's just wonderful that we can come together and enjoy the things of God. And I was just meditating about a week ago. Well, I mean, every day I think something about it, but I was just really thinking about what the Lord has done for us, and that people don't like for us to, like someone said today about talking about the body of Christ, that we think we're it. We really don't think that we're it, but we're just glad that we know we're chosen of God. We know that we are, because you don't get in this if God don't choose you, and if he don't let you see, you won't see. And you can't tell people this and make them to believe it unless they're hungry. And so you really have to have a visitation from the Spirit of the Lord to get a hold of this. And you've got to love the truth. And if you don't love it, well, then you're not going to enjoy it, and you won't get the vision. So it's a wonderful walk in the Lord. And I'm just so happy. And when I was thinking about it, you know, whenever there's something happened and you think, well, can this really be real? Can it really be real? And that's the way I felt. Lord, am I really, really in the body? Is this really happened to me? I mean, I just really feel like that, you know. Of course, I mean, I know I am, but, you know, it was just something. It's just when you get to think about it, to know that God really chose us and that he cared enough for us that he chose us. And so that was just my way of really appreciating that the Lord, that he gave me a vision, a revelation of the body, that I'm not a smart person, but I'm smart enough to see this. I mean, I haven't seen it all yet, but I'm still looking. But anyway, God is so good to us. And I thought, Lord, I'm just so happy that you let me have a chance to see this. And I know I've come out of a large family, and I'm the only child of the family that's seen this. However, every one of my brothers and sisters have had a chance for this. And they're good kids and all like that, but they're just, well, some of them belongs to different kind of churches, but really the real thing, they really don't have it, you know. But I would like to for them to see what I see, and I've tried. I don't preach to them. I just try to live it. And they've got confidence in us. That's one thing that I appreciate, that my family has got confidence in us. And when you can get your family to have confidence in you, Brother Durham, you've done something, because usually they know you too well, you know what I mean? And I feel like now that if I was around them, that I could influence them to be in the church with me. But, of course, they're not, so that'll be up to them to get hungry and let the Lord deal with them. But I'm just so thankful that the Lord has let me to see this, and I think on it a lot. I meditate on the Word of God, and when I'm around the house by myself, or, well, I'm not by myself much, Harlan's with me all the time, but what I mean, I'm around in the house working, and I'm thinking on the good things of the Lord. And God is so good. He is so good. And when I read his word, and I read my Bible and every day, and I read at nighttime. And I've got a lot of Brother Souter's books. I read them, and if there's something I don't understand, I'll read it over and over till I get it. And so just things like that, it makes you feel so good. When the day's over, you feel like that you've accomplished something, thinking on the things of God. And so God is just so good to us, and and I trust the Lord. I believe him. But then I think about the scripture where it said, Lord, help my unbelief. But I really want to believe him more and to trust him more and to have faith and to call upon him. And then when I call upon him, that I can get an answer. So I really appreciate the Lord for what he means to us. And I'm so thankful that for the experiences that I've gone through. I received the baptism when I was 14 years old, and then I met this people when I was just turned about 17, and so I've been on the journey ever since, and it's been a good journey. It's really been a good journey. I've enjoyed it. I wouldn't turn back for anything. I mean, I hope that nothing ever causes me to, because I have no desire to, and it's too late in the day for me to even think about doing anything going on, you know. So anyway, God is so good, and I appreciate him, and I love this way. I love to come to church. I can't hardly wait from one time to other to see you people. I mean that. I really love you, and I'm glad that we've got that love, because if we don't have that love, well, we're just lost in the fog. That's all there is to it. And so I'm just so happy for what's going on, what God is doing for us, because it's an answer to prayer. God knows just what we need, and he knows when we need it, what time, and all about it. So he's a good God. And I know that he's going to add to us. I feel like that when the time comes, someone said today that he works in times and seasons. And when the time comes, he'll bring people in. And I know every time I contact somebody that I think that, you can feel when you're talking to people and I get a chance. Of course, I'm not out amongst the public much anymore, but when I go shopping or whatever, go grocery shopping, I had a chance to be in. I'd taken something back to Walmart the other day, and this fella was in the line with me. We had to wait on the line for a long ways to get our business taken care of, and I talked to him. Of course, he promised that he would come sometime. So that's all you can do. You can ask them and get a promise. If they don't ever come, you can't help that. But anyway, I'm giving the cards out and talking to people as much as I can. So, like I say, when the time comes and we get ready, maybe we're not ready for a lot of people yet. And so the Lord knows all about it, and he'll bring them in. And you know that it's encouraging, and it does something for us. When we have new people, it puts new zip in our bones. You know that? It really does. It makes us to have something to offer to someone, because we didn't always have this. But God is so good. So I appreciate him tonight, and I thank him, and I'm glad that he has got his hand on my life, and I love living for him. And to me, it's just a wonderful privilege and opportunity to live for the Lord, and I haven't been sorry that I've come this way. I'm really thrilled and all. And while I'm talking, I want to tell y'all something that the Lord did for me this week. I mean, it's really something that, I want to trust the Lord and believe the Lord, and when I need him, call on him. And it was really, really a miracle. Harlan and I, we went out on some business Thursday, and we parked at this store, and I started to get out just like I always do. And, of course, I'm careful because, when you start getting older, well, your body just don't act as good as it does when you're young. But anyway, I got out of the car just like I always did, and we parked next to a truck, and I'm very careful when we're parked next to people. I don't like to hit their car because I don't like for them to hit mine, and I have hit mine whenever part of their paint stayed on my car and part of mine stayed on theirs. But anyway, I was real particular. I got out easy and then turned around to shut the door. This was Thursday, and it was kind of a freak thing because when I got out to shut the door, I turned around, shut the doors like I always did. For some reason or other, one of my legs or something, I mean, there's nothing wrong with me, but I just didn't turn like I used to do or something. I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened. But anyway, Harlan was getting out on his side, and there was two black boys that was unloading a pizza truck there by us, and so I lost my balance, and I fell backwards on the concrete. I mean, it's just fell backwards. I didn't hit nothing to break my fall or anything. I just fell flat. And when I was going down, I hollered at the Lord. I said, "Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And I don't know whether they heard me or anybody heard me, but I wanted the Lord to hear me. So, anyway, when I was going down, and you know your mind can really work in a hurry at times, and so I thought, "Oh, God, what will this do to my back?" And then, you know, when I had the aneurysm several years ago, to stop the blood in my brain, they went through my leg and put some, what did they put in there, Harlan? Some kind of, stents? Little stents. They put in the vein of my leg that went up to my brain to stop the blood. And so that's why that the Lord had a hand in it too, but that's how they stopped the blood. Otherwise, my mind would have been bad. But I would have died too. But anyway, I thought about that. I thought, "Lord, what will happen to that?" And then winter before last, well, I had a back problem, and I went to the pain center, and they put cement between the places there where the crack was and my bone, and to seal that back together. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, this might break that in two, you know." And for a few minutes, my mind just went on everything like that, just for a few minutes. And finally, I hit the pavement. And, of course, it knocked me out. It didn't knock me out. I never did lose consciousness, but my mind just went crazy. And I thought, "Oh, God, what's happened to me?" And all. So I began to holler for help and all. And these black boys, they run over and helped Harlan to pick me up. And, of course, I got real, real dizzy. My mind still went crazy. And they set me down. They wanted to know if I wanted to go to the hospital. And I said, "No, I want to go home." So anyway, Harlan, he brought me home. The black boys was just really, really nice. They was worried about me. And they didn't know maybe I might have a broken bone. Of course, I didn't know. But I told them I felt fine. Well, we went on home. And then I told Harlan, I said, "Well, I just feel fine." And I didn't feel like I'd fell. I didn't feel no pain. I didn't have no headache. I didn't have nothing. And so we went on home, and our kids come over, and they said, "Well, how you feel?" I said, "Well, I just feel fine." And I walked around and all, and I even got up and fixed them some ice cream, and they let me fix it to see how I was going to act. And so I fixed them some ice cream, and so. Anyway, they went on. Well, we had prayer before that. I told them, "Well, if y'all will, we'll have prayer for them." So they did. And so I went on to bed. I didn't go early. I read my scriptures, and I had Brother Souter's book, like I told you, and I read that. And, you know, I didn't go to bed until 11:30. I felt wonderful. I went to bed, and, of course, usually when you fall like that, you're not supposed to go to sleep for a while. And I thought, "Well, I'll just stay up because I felt so good." Anyway, I went on to bed, and I slept like a baby. Well, then Friday morning I got up. I thought, "Well," and I got nauseated, and I thought, "Well, I better go have a checkup, you know, and see what's going on." So I went to the doctor and had my head x-rayed, and the only sore spot I've got is right back here where my head hit the concrete. And can you imagine my size falling straight back on the concrete? Nothing broke my fall or nothing. I just fell. And when I was falling, I just thought, "Well, I can't catch hold of it," so I just relaxed, just fell. So anyway, I went to the doctor and told him about it. And so, of course, he knew when I had the aneurysm, he didn't know what to think about it. Me coming out of it as good as I did. So he checked me over, looked at my eyes and everything, checked my head, took my x-rays and everything. He shook his head and said, "Miss Crow, I can't find nothing wrong with you, nothing." And he just looked at me and he said, and looked at Judy, our daughter, and said, "I tell you what, somebody special is looking after this woman." He knew that the aneurysm, when I told him my experience, I told him all the experience. I said, "Now, I know you're a Christian doctor, and I appreciate that." And I told him all about my experience, about the angel coming by my bedside and all like that and all. And so he'd looked at my report and he said, Miss Crow said, nobody can't make me believe nothing else but what somebody upstairs is watching over you. I said, you better believe it, doctor. So anyway, yesterday Friday, he told me, said, Miss Crow said, he just shook his head and said, I'm going to tell you one thing. He said, you are special to somebody. I said, yes, and somebody is special to me, and that's the Lord. So anyway, at least he knows that something's going on in our lives, you know. So I appreciate the Lord, and I'm glad that the Lord, I know that the Lord had a hand in my fall. Why I fell, I said, Lord, have I done anything, or what did I do this for? Are you helping me to trust you more and all? And I feel good today, and I told Harlan, I said, most women fell and took a fell like fall like I did, they'd be home in the bed. But I never did go to bed. I just go to sleep and get up. I've been doing a cooking and taking care, helping take care of him and everything like that. Here I am today. And also, I don't feel like that I've ever had a fall. I'm not sore. I figured that I couldn't get out of bed the next day. But I'll tell you what, I got out of bed just like I always did and went on about my business. So you tell me that's not God. I believe it's the Lord. I believe that he watched over me, and he's mindful of us, Brother Durham. The Lord is mindful of us. And I thought, well, Lord, I appreciate you. And I've just thanked him, and I've thanked him. I thought about Brother Don Patton. He said, what was he said? He said, much obliged, Lord. So I've been saying much obliged. No, not really, but I mean in my mind. But anyway, I really appreciate the Lord, because I know that he helped me, because I could really hurt myself. And do you know that my back has not hurt me one bit? And my back is, you know, I've had back trouble now for several years and all. And it's not hurt me one bit, and I don't even feel like that I have ever failed. But, of course, when I feel in my head up there, I got the doctor's...